This is Playing with Fire. He's at the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown!
3 seconds remaining. 2-1. Shots up. It's good!
Here's the pitch, the swing. It's a long fly ball. It's going, going, it's gone! Revealing the secrets of the elite athlete. But be careful. You're playing with fire.
Today we'll hear from the former starting linebacker of the 1992 Super Bowl champion Washington Redskins, Andre Collins. A song by Beatrice Erickson, skills and drills, and much, much more.
Freestyle. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is our second episode, and I'm very excited to start to get in the groove here of doing these podcasts. Last week was really exciting for us. We were invited down to EWTN, which is one of the largest satellite cable networks on spiritual type issues. And we were invited onto a show called Life on the Rock. And we went down with students. And as you may remember from the first podcast, if you heard it, I'm the president of Belmont Abbey College. Went down with the students. We had a great time. And if you want to hear that, by the way, the whole interview, it's in the show notes, and you can go to those and find out how to download the whole thing. But we just had a great time, and it went so well that Father Francis spoke with us. And you know, this week he actually announced, does a favor by announcing a new scholarship that we just created called Sport at the Service of the Spirit is the scholarship. And if you go to our website, the www.reclaimthegame.com, you'll see a little section in there on the scholarship. And really what it's about is trying to, again, encourage and attract students and athletes to the college who have a real passion for sport and virtue. And that's really what we're trying to attain. And remember, you can find it at www.reclaimthegame.com. And I hope you'll spread the word about the website and about the podcast. You know, please visit the site. You can get all the information, not only about the podcast and the show notes, but you'll also be able to pick up some interesting tips on sports performance and see the quote, you know, sport the service of the spirit. So please spread the word, and let's help this thing to grow.
Well, welcome, everybody. I wanted to introduce to you our guest today, Andre Collins. Andre and I have known each other for a long time. And Andre's background, if you don't already know it, is that he was a starting linebacker for the Washington Redskins during their championship run where they won the Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl 26. He's a 10-year NFL veteran, and he is currently director of the retired players, or he's director of retired players for the NFL Players Association. So, Andre, I know you said to me prior, one of the most important things to you is that also to make sure I mention that you're married and you have 3 children. So I want to make sure I got that in, because I know when I mention that, I get more gasps about that myself rather than anything else. So I want to welcome you, and thanks for being here.
Great. Thanks, Bill. That's the married part, that's very important. My wife and I, we truly are partners in everything that we take on or that I attempt to take on every single day. So it's always nice to acknowledge her support and her activity in our partnership.
That's great. Well, listen, you know, you have a kind of a unique background in that, you know, you and I were fortunate that we spent a lot of years together and so forth. And so I've seen sort of this progression over time, you know, from, you know, when you were with the Redskins all the way through to now. Because you also had a lot of different experiences. I mean, you were a starting linebacker on the Super Bowl championship team with the Redskins, but then you also spent time with Cincinnati. You spent time in Chicago, and on all those, you were asked to play different roles. And you know, so did that help you also?
I think spiritually, you know, you go back to a time in my life that's very emotional, and I think for me spiritually, that's when I kind of came of age. You know, I went from the best team in the league at that time, making the most money at my position at that time, having won the Super Bowl on the best club in football, to a franchise that had perennially finished dead last and really was known for a club that wasn't all too committed to its players or winning, and having to go to that environment and then assuming that I would be a starter and not starting really made me take a hard look at myself. And, you know, I think at that point in my life and in my career began to really focus on what really mattered most about life.
Why is there so much vice, you know, those bad habits and things, examples in sport today, you know? And I'm not thinking you have the answers to everything. If you did, you'd be maybe doing something else. I don't know. But why is there so much vice? Like, why do we see so much of that? You know, you can get players who you could line up two players. We don't have to even put names to them, you know. But you look at one, and they're just both of them are just incredible athletes physically, you know, on the field. Mentally, physically, they're just incredible at their positions. But as a person and the way they live their life and so forth, one, they can be at two extremes, you know, where you say, well, this person is like really a role model for life, you know, and then somebody else you'd look at and say, well, there's nothing really I admire about this person, perhaps, except for the way that they're able to play the game. You know, so is that the money and the fame and the power and stuff that corrupts athletes? And why do some seem to go one way versus another, do you think?
I mean, it's hard to say. But if I can go back to my own personal experiment, you know, that Cincinnati Bengals team in 1995 when, I was saved and started to understand that there was a more virtuous life. And I started to quietly share that with my teammates. I watched a team of super athletes that weren't very productive turn into a team of players that were more focused on the right things. And I watched very good players become great players just because of their approach and the new piece that they had with the game. Not to say that I controlled everyone's mind in the locker room, but, you know, I tried to lead by example, and I just tried to share the things that made me a more peaceful athlete with some of the younger players that were on the team. And there really was a change in the way that we took the field. I mean, we took the field with the energy of 10 men.
What's hot? Well, as you may know, I have an affinity for underdog stories, and so you may be hearing a number of those as we talk about some things in this section, What's Hot. One of them that just came out not too long ago was a movie by Disney called Invincible, and some of you or many of you may have seen it, but I really appreciate it, and I think sometimes it's good to pick out why is it those kind of movies seem to inspire us and get us, you know, pretty pumped up and excited about, you know, whatever it might be, just about life in general. But in this story, Invincible, it's a story about a guy who really never played football other than a little bit in high school, was considered a good high school player, grew up in Philadelphia, was really, you know, kind of on rough times and had some, you know, real challenges and difficulties in life to overcome, was, you know, working in a bar as a bartender. And the Eagles back in the day decided to have an open tryout. And so he actually goes down to the stadium at the urging of several of his friends, and I guess maybe he thought, you know, life's not going so well for me, what do I got to lose? So he goes down there, and it's kind of a funny, you know, scene, because you see all of these people down there, like all different shapes and sizes, people completely out of shape, you know, people that have no business being there and no way of ever making the team. But he goes down, and I guess he had some, you know, decent physical abilities, and they show the one scene where he's being clocked with the other 500 people running the 40-yard dash, and the coaches are, you know, yawning as they watch everybody go by. And finally, you know, he gets up and he runs one, and he runs a 4.5, you know, which in football, you know, having worked with a lot of NFL players, I can tell you, 4.5 is a pretty decent time. You always hear about this 4.4, but I can tell you not a lot of people run a 4.4. It's very few human beings that can run that fast or faster. Anyway, he runs this 4.5. He catches some balls. They give him a chance. And this is one of these things where he's just, you know, swimming upstream the whole movie. You know, the veterans are against him because he tries hard, and they don't want anybody trying too hard in practice. And, you know, at the end of the story, it turns out that he's given the chance and he actually makes the team. And then in the game itself, he actually gets to play and he's basically a special teams player. But the, you know, climatic finish, and maybe I shouldn't tell you it. I should maybe leave you to go find it out for yourselves. But and so I will. But it's a real exciting ending. And it's just one of these stories, like a Rudy story, that you just say, you know, get you kind of pumped up and excited. So I'd encourage you all at some point to go and maybe take a look at that. Praying Twice. This is a great song called Reach Out by Beatrix Erickson.
One of these days I will pack my bags and run. Yeah, I will pack my bags and run. Oh, been spending my time to please everyone around, but now I'm out of this town. Cause now the wind is blowing my way, and I'm learning to fly. And as I'm drifting on the highway, I am leaving the ground. Here I come. Become the one I always dreamed that I would become. Gonna spend my time to forget about the past and to let days go by. Another wind is blowing my way, I will learn how to fly. And as I'm drifting on the highway, I'm leaving the ground. Here I come.
That was Reach Out by Beatrix Erickson, and you can catch that at podshow.com, or you can check out our show notes. It's your call. Well, one piece of feedback I got on iTunes this week was somebody made the comment that it'd be worthwhile having maybe practices or competitions if I could go out and do those live, maybe take a recording device with me and not only, you know, talk about what I see as far as how people are interacting and playing and, you know, some of this, you know, virtue in terms of how people are, you know, treating one another, but also, you know, some maybe practical tips on watching the game, talk about, you know, what I see people doing, how they could be improving. And so I'm gonna look to do that in the future. I have to get myself set up. As I said, I'm just learning how to do this in more of a studio type setting. Now I got to get a little bit more savvy with this whole thing going out on the fields and the courts. But I'd love to hear your comments. So if you'd give me a call, you can leave us at our listener comment line. It's area code 206-203-1301. Again, it's 206-203-1301. Or you can reach me at feedback@reclaimthegame.com. And I will look forward to your comments. Skills and drills. You know, last week we had Kyle Brady on, and I was thinking for this section, skills and drills, as I said to you, I want to make this a more practical section. And last week I felt like, well, you know, I gave some practical information. I don't know that I gave you some real, you know, practical, you know, way of carrying it out in too much detail. So I'd like to do a little bit more today with that. And Kyle made me think of this one thing as I was speaking with him that we've worked on over the years. You know, when you're working with NFL players, very often you assume, well, these guys are just like world-class athletes. They just go out there. They got these skills, talents. They just all come out, and, you know, that's why they're pro athletes. But believe it or not, pro athletes probably have further to go than they've come. They have ways that they need to continue to improve and work upon their skills. And so one thing that I do, I work very individually with athletes, and I would observe and I'd watch and I'd look, and I've been blessed with the ability to kind of see movement well. I can kind of almost feel forces, you know, when I see people move. And I also have a sense, I know this sounds really strange, but I can almost tell what people are thinking as they're moving and so forth. And what I always ask a player first is to give me feedback. You know, you tell me first, what did you do, as opposed to me telling you what you did, because that's part of how you actually improve your skills. But one of the things I thought I'd share with you, and again, this is very specific, and, you know, I guess if you're a lineman or a tight end, this is going to be very valuable to you. I hope it will be. But, you know, when I was working with Kyle, one of the things I saw is that when he was performing, sometimes he'd be a little bit out of position. And once you're out of position, you know, in the NFL, you got a defensive end coming at you. If you're just off by a few inches in terms of where you place yourself, you're going to get beat. Now, I don't care how strong you are, how athletic you are, you're just not going to overcome that individual. So one of the things we came up with is I came up with this with him, a little acronym, you know, and it was PTASE, P-T-A-S-E. And it just wasn't, you know, it doesn't sound like what is PTASE. Basically what it stood for was play, target, action, spot, and energy. And I'm going to tell you what that means. You know, for a player coming out of the huddle, the first thing is, you know, you need to know the play. Now, that sounds pretty obvious, but in the NFL and even college and even high school now, it really gets quite complicated. The number of plays, reading defenses, making adjustments on the line to audibles and so forth. So you really have to know your plays cold, I mean, without even thinking. So one of the skills I'll give people is just on an index card, they'll put the play down. The play is actually written out on one side of the card, and the name of the play is on the other side. And if that card is held up, you should be able to say that play, whichever it is. If I show you what the play looks like, you should be able to tell me the play like in a second. If you have any pause or hesitation, you don't know the play. So first, you got to know the play. That's the P part. The T is the target, which means once you know the play, then you know who your target is in this particular play. And so a lot of times, for example, a tight end is placed in motion, and as he's running down the line, he's really trying to get himself set so that in this case he might be taking on the defensive end. Obviously, the defense doesn't know that he's going to do that, hopefully, but he's moving down the line, and he's waiting for the ball to be snapped, then boom, he's going to take on the defensive end. But as you're moving down that line, if you don't recognize the play, you know, you're not going to be sure who your target is. And if you're trying to pick that up at the last second, again, you're probably going to get beat. The third thing is A, which is for action. And what that means is you're looking at the direction that this play is going to run. So, for example, if you know that the play is going to be running back towards the middle of the line, then you know that if you're taking on that defensive end, you've got to stop in that motion down the line. You've got to stop in a position that allows you to have the best angle of attack on that defensive end. If you head too far down the line, just by maybe even 6 inches, that defensive end is going to make contact with you, and the two of you will be locked together, but you'll both be running towards the middle of the line where the play is running to. The fourth one is S, which stands for spot. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in my next section when I talk about some of the mental skills. But the spot is seeing in detail, something in detail on this player, on this person that you're actually going to be blocking. People can fake you out pretty easily. And again, I'll go into some detail with this a little bit later. And the last one is E for energy. And what that simply means is that you have to have an energy greater than the play, and it has to go beyond the play. So it can't just be this burst of energy when you first hit or contact a player. It's got to be throughout the entire play until the play is over. Because very often, when you think you've blocked long enough, suddenly a play gets turned around and suddenly runs up the other side of the field where it wasn't supposed to. And if you've continued to block, it may be a touchdown. Iron will. You know, from a mental skill standpoint, there's a few things that can really help you. You know, one is to have an awareness of what's going on. You know, number two, you need to have your attention, being able to keep your attention on something. And you also need the arousal. You need the juice. You need the energy that's going to keep you focused when you're performing. What I thought I'd talk to you a little bit about today, again, trying to stay on the practical side of things, and I mentioned a little bit in the skills and drill section, is this idea of focusing on a spot. And you may say, well, okay, you know, I look at a spot, you know, what does that mean? Well, when I talk about focusing on a spot, again, it's about detail. So, for example, if there was somebody standing in front of you and I said, okay, this person's going to move to the left or righty. They're going to try to get by you very quickly. You know, we tend to kind of focus on a whole person. We see this whole body sort of moving. And that's a lot of times why you get faked out, because you get these head fakes and so forth. And you'll hear people say, well, stare at their hips. Their hips can't, you know. Well, that's good. That's better than just sort of staring vaguely at the whole, you know, human being standing in front of you. But it's still not enough. And I've worked with a lot of defensive backs in the NFL, but this applies to basketball, if you're covering somebody. Seeing a spot in detail. So if, for example, I was standing in front of you and I said, okay, now you've got to stop me. I would have you pick out some detail on my shirt right in front of you. I'm talking about detail. I'm saying, you know, whether if I had a number or a decal or a name or something on my jersey, I'd be saying, you know, look at the threads on this thing. Really look at the details in it. And once you focus on those details and you bring your energy level up where you've got a lot of energy ready to explode, I'm telling you, that spot cannot fake you out. You'd be amazed at the difference in your reaction time when you focus on a spot versus focusing on the whole person. And so try it. Next time you go out, whether you're playing basketball, anybody that's playing in a sport where you have to cover somebody, this is invaluable. You're going to find that you're able to stay with the person, and no matter what they do, they cannot fake you out. And the key is to maintain your attention. Because a lot of times we kind of fatigue as time goes on, and yeah, I had the spot at first, and then I lost it. So part of your training when you're going to do this is not only are you doing it to begin with, but then can you sustain it? Can you keep doing it? And so make a conscious effort when you're working out, when you're practicing. That is the time to master these skills, so that as you get into a game, it becomes more natural. Soul food. Perseverance. You know, the virtue of perseverance is one of those things that, again, you hear a lot about, that we need to persevere, and we have some sense that that must mean that we got to keep trying, you know, keep working at something. But it's interesting. Perseverance is really an awesome virtue. It's the kind of thing that just almost overcomes anything. And if you think about it, you know, very often water wears down a rock over time. And I think that's the idea of perseverance. Perseverance comes from the broader cardinal virtue of fortitude. Under fortitude, you have these different virtues. You have patience, you have munificence, magnanimity. And don't worry if you don't know what those are. I'll be talking about them in the future. But today I want to talk about a little bit about perseverance. I wanted to share a story with you of perseverance, a personal one, of an athlete that I had worked with. I was coaching up at Boston University a long time ago now, and I had an athlete. I should tell you first, I was the jumping coach there, and I was a high jumper myself, and competed internationally. I was 2-time All-American, all those kind of good things. And I was asked to coach at Boston University, where I did my doctoral work. And I had an awesome team. The men and women jumpers that I had were some of the best in the country. As a matter of fact, I had a national champion that I coached, plus two other guys that were over 7'5". So I had, you know, one guy who had jumped his best jump in his life, I think, was 7'9". And the other guys had like 7'5", 7'6", kind of jumps. I had two women on the team that had jumped over 6 feet, one that had jumped 6'2". So I'm just telling you to kind of set this up. So one day we're out at the field with the mats and so forth, and it's the beginning of the season. This guy walks out, and he comes over to me and says, you know, I'm a freshman. I just came here. I'm a high jumper, and I'd really like to be on the team. I kind of look at this guy, and I'm thinking, you know, he's only about, you know, 5'10". He looked like he weighed too much. He looked like he was about 190 pounds or 185 pounds. You know, structurally, his knees were kind of knock-kneed a little bit. You know, I looked at him, and I just thought, this guy doesn't look like a high jumper to me. But the women were jumping at the time, and the bar was at about 5'6". And so I said to him, well, warm up, and, you know, even though the women are jumping, just take a couple of jumps for me, and let me just look at you. So he warms up, and he goes to take his jump, and the first jump, he jumps, and he, like, takes the bar off with his head. Well, I mean, I kind of look at that, and I'm thinking, ooh, boy, you know, and so is everybody else that's watching. And he does this again, and, I mean, he almost breaks the bar. Well, I get all these comments from everybody like, you know, I'll get rid of this guy, you know, don't waste your time with him and so forth. But, you know, this guy, I don't know, for some reason he touched my soul in some way, and I felt great empathy for him. And, you know, he wasn't doing well in school. You know, he struggled with that a little bit, and he came to me and said, I really want to jump, you know. So I said to him, I'll tell you what, if you come out every day, you listen to me, you work at this, I'll let you jump. And to make a long story short, after 4 years, this guy jumped 7 feet 1 inches. Now, the guy that jumped 7'9", who was Commonwealth champion, who was in the Olympic Games, that guy would have had to jump 9 feet to equate what this guy did going from where he was to 7'1". And so Adam was his name, and I can just tell you, Adam taught me a lesson. Never to underestimate anybody. So what I would tell you is, when people tell you what you can't do, persevere. Well, this was another great show. I hope you, at least you'll think it was. At least let me know whether you thought it was. You can, again, leave me a comment at our listener line, which is the area code 206. The number is 203-1301. Or leave me your feedback. Give me your feedback at reclaimthegame.com. And I'll look forward to hearing from you. Just a short comment here, but an important one to make, is last week when I was in Georgia, there was a very serious bus accident that I think many of you had heard about. The Bluffton baseball team, you know, 7 of those players have died, and there were, you know, a score of them you know, badly injured. So just keep them in your prayers, their families and those players, and we'll trust in God to watch over and protect them all. So take care, God bless, and I'll look forward to seeing you again next time.